Attaboy, Patty B. Nice. All I love. 1103, BT and Sal back on the fan. I am still, and I won't ever be, still not over the loss of Hartenstein. It's killing me. I know we talked a lot about it yesterday when it happened. It actually went down about 30 seconds before we opened up our mics. Hop popped his head and he's like, yo, Hartenstein's done. 30 years, of $30 million a year to go to OKC. I'm like, oh, God. Literally was just set to start the show about something else. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff on social media out there. And I think that sometimes you guys see a caption and you don't really watch the whole video. Or do you do watch the video and it's only a snippet of the entire video, so some of the context is lost? I get it. I mean, I'm not mad. It happens all the time here. But I do think that the video of me talking about Hartenstein with Sal yesterday is not necessarily representative of my greater point. Because when you hear me say the Knicks went from a team that I think can win a championship to a team that cannot, I believe that. Because that's how important Hartenstein is. But the other stuff, the nuance, and the context, that if you go a little deeper, whether it's on WFAN YouTube page, whatever, you'll see that there's other things to it and what they could do to make sure that they can get back into the position to win a championship. Because there's some of the lack of depth from the pushback is amazing to me. Whoa, really going to miss a guy who averaged 8 points and 6 rebounds a game. Dude, did you watch him play? Honestly, did you watch Isaiah Hartenstein play with the Knicks? Because if you did, and you referenced 7 or 8 points a game or 5 or 6 rebounds a game, you didn't watch the same Isaiah Hartenstein that I watched, because that guy fit like a glove. He was absolutely perfect. The way he set the screens, the way he rolled, his passing acumen, which is top shelf for a big man outside of maybe Jokic and one or two others. He's an amazing passer, never misses at the rim, better free throw shooter than Mitch. And while Mitch is a better defender, the drop-off in what Hartenstein presents as a defender is not nearly as precipitous as the drop-off that Mitch Robinson has to everything else that Hartenstein does well. So I do think there's a way to pivot, maybe a James Wiseman, former second overall pick back in the day, a couple of years ago. But right now, based on their center position and based on the fact that, let's face it, 25 games, book it, Mitchell Robinson's going to get hurt, if not more, because it's what he does every year. They cannot win the championship the way they're currently set up. I stand by it. I love the team. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I have inherent, full, unmitigated faith in Leon Rose to basically do everything right at this point. You know, you trade for OG. You give up 2 pieces. Now, I wasn't a huge, I liked him, but I wasn't a big Barrett believer. And I liked IQ, but I knew they weren't going to pay him. But still, they rolled the dice by giving up two starters, certainly one in RJ. And you get somebody in here on a rental, all right? You give up a lot. You got to make sure you re-sign them. Boom, they did. Obviously, they had the vision of Jalen Brunson, and they viewed him as a star where nobody else did. They rolled the dice. Boom. He got one of the best contracts in the NBA. You know, all the Hartenstein himself, 2 years, $8 million a year. He was basically a scrub with the Clippers. Comes in, boom, stud. Fit in. DiVincenzo was a first-round pick. Thought by many to be, you know, a bit of a, not a bust, that strong. But including myself, I thought he would be better. I loved him at Villanova. I really thought he had this to his game this year. And they bring him in. Boom. He breaks the Knicks' all-time three-point mark. Like, what they've done is amazing. So just to put a wrap on the Hartenstein stuff, it was never me lamenting, oh, the Knicks, how could you let him go? That's stupid. You couldn't pay. Number one, if you wanted to pay him $30 million, you couldn't. And number two, that is irresponsible. So it's not the Knicks' fault that he's gone. It's the circumstances of investing in somebody who not many other people valued. You were rewarded, and then you're penalized because he became the player that you thought he could. So I know that's a lot there, but the Hartenstein stuff, man, he was perfect for this team. And he was tough. And he's smart. He fit, man. Let me put it this way. Not if you're a real Knicks fan, like if you watch every second, you know that I'm right. 888-808-1019. All right. Let's get back to you. Whether it's the Jets and the Rodgers stuff, just getting back from Egypt, or Luis Gil Massive start tonight. Let's get to Michael in Lancaster, PA. BT and South Sal's off, by the way. What's going on, Mike? How you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, BT? Listen, you guys are the best in the afternoon. I love the show.
Thanks,
first
Mike.
Off, I have zero confidence in the Jets. This guy Rodgers, how could he come back from the injury that he suffered and expect to, you know, dominate the league and take the team where it needs to go? He's not locked in. He's not set. And I've been a lifelong Jet fan, and it ain't going to be good enough just to go to the playoffs, win one game. Mm-hmm. My worst fear is that Jet-Denver game, and Zach will be starting, and Zach will beat him again like he beat him in Green Bay. And real quick, who's winning money in the
Bank? By the way, I was at that game in Green Bay.
Really?
I was at that game. It was sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. I know you had another thought. Go ahead. Finish up.
BT, who do you think is going to win Money in the Bank this Saturday?
I don't even know who's in it. Like, honestly, it's funny because we talk about wrestling. Thanks for the call there, Mike. And I'm old school. I catch up on a lot of videos, and, you know, I like the shoots with the old school guys when they talk about what went down back in the day. I'm not watching it in real time. I'm really not. So I couldn't even guess and give you I probably can make something up, but I'm not going to do that to you. Patty, who's going to take it in the who's going to take the, what is it, the Money in the Bank, right?
Where they got to climb the ladder? I don't watch that fabricated garbage anymore. That's the show after us.
Is that when they climb? Oh, wow. Is that when they climb the ladder and they get the money bag, and right, whoever gets a title
yes.
shot?
Yes. Well, actually, at the tail end of when I was watching WWE when I was like, you know, 11. Was when I think they first started that. So, yes, I think that's when you climb and then you can cash that in at any point a title fight.
It's actually a pretty cool concept. It's actually a really cool concept. Think about that. Now, I don't know enough, like, say if I win the Money in the Bank, right, and I've got it, and the champion's fighting, I don't know, at WrestleMania, and even though I possess, or any other big card, right, Raw, whatever, and I possess the Money in the Bag, can I literally walk out to the ring and say, I want to cash in now, despite you being in the middle of a title defense against somebody else?
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the last times I remember watching WWE, I think Edge Cena
Edge
after the Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am talking about WWE.
Yeah, for a guy who knows nothing, he just gave us more than I did.
I watched it it was like 13, 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Let me get Jack in New York. Jack, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, what's up, BT? How are you?
Hello, Jack. How you doing?
Good. How are you? I was just wondering, what do you think the Yankees' future was? Because I think it was last year, you were talking about Atlanta. Yeah, like they should build up the lineup like Atlanta. But we also need bullpen help. So what are we going to do? Because we can't get everyone. Like, we don't want to spend a lot of money here.
That's true. Well, Jack, let me ask you. First of all, you sound like a young, aspiring general man. What would you do, Jack? I'm going to give Jack the power to fix the Yankees. What would you do, young man? You tell me.
I'm not sure. Maybe I would see how everybody's like. Give it obviously another 2 weeks, and then like maybe we could bring up some prospects if like DJ's still not doing anything. Obviously we got Dominguez coming back hopefully soon.
Yep.
But like yeah, maybe get some bullpen. Maybe then we could go out and get some bullpen people. We don't need to spend too much money, but get some decent people because the bullpen right now is being really rocky.
It is. Yeah, listen, I think your instincts are on point there, Jack. Thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate you making it. Hopefully you're having a good summer. Listen, here's the deal. Me and Jack will get together, and we'll put together a list of what Cashman should do, and hopefully he listens to us, and we'll build him a championship. Me and Jack have it under wraps. What old was Jack then? 12, 15? He said he was 19?
Yes, which means he's also clever because he is absolutely not 19.
Yeah. Listen, you worked that hard to sneak in as a young fan? Respect. How old do you think DJ LeMahieu looks to Jack? If he looks old to me, he must look like a dinosaur out there. My God. Let me get Danny and Randolph. What's happening, Dan?
BT, you know, I love you, but you almost made me spit out my coffee when you're talking about the Giants on their third-string quarterback putting up an offense, and I'm like, wait a minute. Giants had like 5 wins last year.
Okay.
They had 5 wins last year.
I know.
But and look, I don't want to get too much into the Jets-Giants. Like, they both were hot trash, right?
Uh-huh.
But here's my thing on Saleh. I don't think Saleh, I think he's like a middle to, like, slightly below average coach. So I'm not going to defend him and say that he's, like, a top 10 coach or anything like that. But I do think that you guys are a little too hard on him because Zach Wilson is hot trash. He's always been trash. And this is how we know he's trash. You go back to when LaFleur, and let's probably admit it, we probably should not have let LaFleur go, right? Because that offense in L.A. was pretty good. I understand we probably wouldn't get Rodgers, but that offense in L.A. was not bad. And now we got a da-da-da over, you know, as our offensive coordinator. So that's great. Now, you know, when Mike White was in, when Flacco was in, and when the other guy, I forget that third string guy, was it Josh Johnson or something like that?
Yeah. He played in the Colts game that night. Yep, Josh Johnson. Yep.
We put up numbers. It was our defense that was terrible at the time. That's why it was always a track meet.
Yeah.
So, look, he's had offenses before. I just think that you're underestimating how bad Zach Wilson is and how much Joe Douglas shoved him down his throat. Because it was criminal that we went into last season with Zach Wilson as a backup quarterback. That, to me, is the biggest issue.
Well, it's a massive issue, and it's no longer an issue because it's been rectified. So I don't think you're wrong with that, Dan. Thanks for the call. But I think I'm more macro, even though the quarterback is never a micro thing. It's huge. But as I talk about Saleh here, it's less specific to the quarterback. It's more about the presence and just the belief, like, not that you're always right, but you kind of know when you have the guy and you kind of know when you don't. And I don't think that they have the guy. No disrespect. I just don't. And by the way, I was hanging on to the Robert Saleh, you know, branch longer than most here. I'm like, you know, the defense, you know, citing a lot of things that those who still support him cite. And I'm not saying that there's no merit. Yeah, he is a defensive coach and the defense is really good, but they're very sloppy. And to me, that's on him. There's no doubt. Let me get Dean in Norwalk. What's cooking there, Dino? It's BT and Sal.
Hey, BT. How you doing, bud?
I am good. I'm good, man. What's going on?
So, BT, what I was thinking about the whole iHeart thing, because, again, I'm a diehard Nick guy, loved iHeart. You think there was maybe anything to them planning around, you know, he had that late season Achilles tightness, calf tightness.
Yep.
You think there was anything like that where they weren't going to put all their eggs in that basket and knowing they couldn't move Mitch because of his injury history?
I don't. I honestly don't. Now, that was a little bit of an issue, and I remember it very well. It plagued him a little bit toward the end there. I just think it was, you know, they had committed to Mitchell Robinson, you know, before that. He got a decent contract. Not incredibly burdensome Mitchell Robinson's contract, but that, in addition to, you know, OG and Brunson in line for new deal and Randall's making decent money and Josh Hart's making decent money, they just ran out of money. It wasn't a desire or it wasn't a lack of want to retain Hartenstein. It was the fact they didn't have his full bird's rights, so they could only offer him $17 million. That's all it is. That's it. They love him. I guarantee, thanks for the call, Dean, I guarantee, I said this to Sal yesterday, I'm like, if you asked Tom Thibodeau, I don't know, Thibodeau might be different because he's such a defensive guy, but I think if you asked all the players, the ball handlers, who they prefer playing with, it's Hartenstein. I think if you ask opposing coaches, what makes the Knicks more complex, less predictable, I think that they'd say, no, Hartenstein's better for them than Mitchell. What does Mitchell Robinson do? He catches dunks and he misses free throws. He blocks shots and he gets hurt. You know, and yeah, you know, the one thing about the Hartenstein stuff is it seems like I'm coming down on Mitchell Robinson. I really like Mitchell Robinson. I like him as a player. He's got real value. But he's no longer that second round pick who's making $900,000 a year. Not that it's exorbitant. Again, it's not incredibly burdensome, but that does change the profile a bit when a player is now making at least decent money and he's got so many flaws in his game that you can't keep him on the court in the final 2 minutes. Yeah, you just can't. Let me get Luke in Westchester. Luke, go ahead, bud.
What's up, BT? How we doing?
All right, Luke. What's going on?
I was thinking about the Villanova connection and all these guys with defense. I was thinking about Sadiq Bey. What do you think about that?
I mean, how many more guys are you going to bring in? I mean, how much more roster flexibility do you have? I don't think they're done with that, Luke. I mean, yeah, maybe we bring back Mike Nardi from 2004 as a backup point guard. It is amazing. It is amazing what they've done. I was thinking about this, and you know, I'm sure some of you know I've done St. John's for a while. I love St. John's. I didn't go to St. John's, but St. John's with Mullen and Louis, that's really what just ratcheted up my passion for basketball, along with, you know, the Knicks with Bernard King. But the St. John's was so centrally involved in that. Can you imagine? But I know, but having said that, I know it's been lean for, nobody knows more than me and Mink, it's been lean for a while. Rick's about to change that, thank God. But imagine if instead of, you know, four Villanova players, you had four St. John's players. Like, just imagine. The only other comparison, because they've only had, you know, one, two, three NBA even worthy players. Champagne, Pons didn't work out. One or two others, right? Over the last 15, 20 years. Just imagine if the Knicks trotted out Chris Mullen, Walter Berry, Mark Jackson. I mean, and Bill Wendy, and not that Bill was a great pro, but you get the point. Imagine that, what it would be like. It is just incredible what Jay Wright did, how well coached these kids are, these young men kids, how selfless they are, how smart they are. Villanova's awesome. I mean, Villanova, they're set up there, and their school and their program, it's top-notch. I mean, everything about it is you want to replicate. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. All right, Odyssey Sports Bit of Time brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Sal's off today. 1128 here. 888-808-1019 is our number. We'll get back to your calls in a minute. Let me just let you know what we're talking about. Well, Rodgers is back from Egypt. How nice of him to come back and eventually grace us with his presence at camp. To me, that's not the issue. Yeah, I prefer that he's there. But the real issue is the Jets once again stumbling all over themselves as they try to address something that they knew about for a month and they butchered it. And that worries me for the season when something big invariably goes wrong, which in the NFL it always does. So that's one thing you could respond to. Louis Hill tonight. I don't want to say that, you know, the game. I don't mean the game. I don't mean the result. Yeah, you'd like to win, but whatever. There's a lot of games left and the Yankees have a good record, really good. Louis Hill's start tonight is massive. I even think it's bigger than Gerrit Cole's first start back from rehab, because we know who Gerrit Cole is, assuming he's structurally sound, and if he's throwing 97, 98, which he is again, then he's structurally sound. Whereas Louis Hill's a lot of guesswork. And April, May, phenomenal. June, woof. And now July, let's see what we get. And even a little Hartenstein stuff from yesterday. So let's get back to you guys here. Victor is up in Harlem. Vic, what's going on, buddy? BT and Sal.
Hey, BT, thanks for taking the call.
My pleasure.
So Vic, I just have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
And let me first off say I'm a Giants fan, so I'm kind of in the third party.
I got you.
With Aaron Rodgers, at what point does he make the Jets job not favorable, not attractive?
Hold on. So why, though? You mean, so let's assume Saleh gets fired after the season and Rodgers still wants to play?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And the only reason why I ask is he's gotten to this point, and we've seen it with Brady. We see in the NBA with LeBron. It seems like the franchise is giving in to him every move that he wants. And the only reason why I ask is because let's say the Jets want to go after an established guy. And I don't think this is happening because of his history.
Yep. Yeah, they never do that. Yep, never.
Belichick didn't even get along with Brady at the end, and he won him six championships.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vrabel, even though he's part of the new wave coaches, he comes off as an old school type of coach. And then are you really going to give a coordinator a first chance at head coach with this team that's ready to win now? So I just wanted to get your take on when he makes the job not attractive.
It's almost depressing how accurate you are. Jeez, potentially. It's a good point, or good points, plural. Listen, there's only 32 of them, so I think it's, I know you've heard that before, but these jobs are always attractive. Number one, the Jets would pay money. Woody's not cheap, although he does go for that first-time route, which I'd like to see end at some point. You have a very young, explosive defense and some great young skill position players on offense. So the talent base is there. The division, eh. Pats rebuilding. Bills kind of stagnating. Dolphins, good, but not great. I think there would be appeal. I think the other thing, though, too, is like if this season flames out, the next guy is going to be able to feast on Woody's desperation where, I'm not saying Mike, let's say it's Vrabel, but Belichick's never coaching the Jets. He could coach the Giants, not coaching the Jets. He hates the Jets. Hates them, right? But I could see like a Vrabel or whomever else might surface that's established. I could see that person having so much juice because Woody's desperate that he's got influence on the GM higher. Because then at that point, Joe would be gone too. So I think that makes it extra appealing to whomever would be next for the Jets. But I can't even possibly think about that now. That's too much today on July 2nd. Eric in Staten Island, or on Staten Island. Eric, what's going on, bud?
Hey, how you doing, BT? Love the show.
Thank you, dude. What's new?
Something I really agree with you on and something I don't. You're nailing it with the loss of Hartenstein. Mitchell Robinson, he's a really nice player, but he's a very limited player.
Yep.
I think it's the perfect situation with him coming off the bench, him playing 20 minutes, that's the perfect situation. They ask this guy to play 35 minutes, he's going to get hurt. I hate to say it, he has a track record. He's going to miss a month or two. And with this Knicks team, there's no more consolation prizes. This is win everything, win a championship or bust. And I just feel they're going to have a giant hole at the center position. Hartenstein is such a good player. What people don't realize about him is you can run an offense through him. He is such a good pitch. He's a big man that opens up the offense. So you're nailing it with the loss. I mean, everybody knows the loss, but you're emphasizing it, and I appreciate that. But I also got to comment that you did call him a scrub on the Clippers. That I got to take issue with.
Well, you know, I've just said that for effect. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
No, I understand, but I want people to realize, if you look at his numbers, he was actually a better player on the Clippers.
He shot some threes. He shot some threes with the Clippers. No, I know.
Look at his BT. If you look at his per 36 minutes, that's a really underrated stat when you're talking about guys that don't get the minutes. But if you look at his per 36 stats, this guy's an all-star caliber player. He really...
You chop it up a little bit there. I love him. I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I just said that, I knew he wasn't a scrub, but I love Hartenstein. You know, I'm happy for him. But listen, let's push this a little forward as well. The cute little story is officially over for the Knicks. Like, now there's no hiding. There's no being obscured even by the Yankees or the Giants or Aaron Rodgers. Like, once the Knicks season starts, all right, the scrutiny will be unlike anything since Ewing's days, even more than Carmelo in the 54-win season, more than that with Mike Woodson and the veterans, Chandler, Jason Kidd, etc., Rashid. That's it. You want that. You know, pressure is what? Pressure is a privilege. And you talk about the Jets having pressure, it's a privilege. Certainly beats apathy for the Knicks. Pressure's a privilege, right? Certainly beats Emmanuel Mudiay, starting guard, you know? Where nobody cares, so that's good. But no. The Knicks can, not that they're trying to, the Knicks can no longer hide. They are a massive topic on every national show, and they're going to once again show what kind of a heartbeat they have in this. Well, they already showed it last year. But the Knicks day-to-day, I think there's a whole swarm of young fans that just got a sense of what it's like. It's just starting. I mean, Knicks basketball takes things over. Christine's in Middletown. Hello, Christine. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Well, you know, about the Jets saga, it's the same old story. They keep getting the quarterback wrong and the coach wrong. Salah's shown no inclination. He can't step up and assert his leadership. Why is this going on so long with Aaron Rodgers? You know, this is a team, I believe, BT, that's only had five quarterbacks that made multiple playoff appearances going back to the days in the Polo Grounds.
Yeah.
Where's the hope coming? I don't see it.
Well, I mean, Christine, the hope's got to come in the form of the defense. The hope's got to come in the form of Aaron Rodgers having a good season. The one thing that I would push back on, like, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to be amazing. Like, if you're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to be amazing, you'd be waiting for a while. Because he wasn't amazing his last year with the Packers. Now, that talent base, I think, was not close to what the Jets' talent base is. Jets is better. Like, their talent base is stronger. It's just easier to identify. And that's not even for me. That's, like, objectively speaking, personnel people around the league who love the Jets roster. Question some other stuff, like the coach and Rodgers' age, but they love the roster. Hoff, let me ask you something real fast here. If I said, I'm usually pretty decent at this. Let me create an over-under scenario on touchdowns that I think Rodgers needs to throw for the Jets with their defense to be a 12 or 13-win team. Same with the picks. I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers needs to throw... I'm going to say the over-under is 25.5. I think some people are thinking 30 and 35. No. I'm going to go 25.5. Would that be enough?
No.
Why?
I think they need to be offensively more. I think that when the Jets score points, I think that offenses now against them are going to then be more aggressive than they normally have been against the Jets defense, and they're going to put a point. So I think a lot of these are going to be more shootouts than you would think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – listen, if the Jets get in shootouts, then something went really wrong with their defense, which is a bigger issue. I don't – listen, 25.5, is it a tick conservative? Sure. You know, would I like to see 28, 29, approach 30? Yeah. But I don't think he's got to be all world. I think it's more important that they possess the football. And think about what happened with Zach and throw – So I would say over-under, I mean, single digits is probably asking a bit much, but can we go 10.5, 11? If Aaron Rodgers gives you 28 touchdowns and 11 picks, and there's no, like, jarring injuries on the defense, it's a 12 or 13-win team. You agree?
Yeah, no, 28 and 11 is a much better number. I mean, listen, I know it's only three more than 25, but still.
Yeah.
It just feels bigger.
It does. It does.
It is big.
Well, right. Think about it. Yeah, it is, literally. But how many guys in the NFL, I would think, let me pop this up real quick. I think that we're probably misremembering. I don't think, how many guys do you think threw over 25 touchdowns last year, Hoff? Off the top of your head. I don't know, by the way.
I would think at least 10.
Between, 10 sounds about right. But
at least with two.
Touchdowns. Yeah. All right, here you go. You ready? So Dak had 36. They won nothing. Jordan Love had 32. He's amazing. Brock Purdy threw 31. Then you had Goff with 30. Then you had Josh Allen with 29. Same with Tua. That's 29. That's six. Baker had 28. Mahomes had 27. That's eight. Russell Wilson had 26. Derek Carr had 25, and they did nothing. So if you really think about this, there's not necessarily a correlation to the amount of touchdowns thrown, at least last year, to wins. Like, C.J. Stroud, I know he can run, too, threw 23 touchdowns, playoff team. Trevor Lawrence, 21. Let's see. Lamar, 24. Yeah, I stand by that. If Aaron Rodgers throws 25, he's top 10, back end of top 10, and the Jets waltz into the playoffs there.
Well, there's proof. With Aaron Rodgers in the pudding, 2019 BT.
Yep.
Threw 26 touchdowns and went 13-3.
Have, like, three or four picks? Was that the year where he had like four?
26 touchdowns, four interceptions.
Oh, God. Can you imagine what it would be like? I don't even know what it would be like to watch a Jets season and watch their quarterback throw four interceptions. Four. Oh, man. That would be glorious.
I know how it feels, but usually it's for one game.
Yeah, yeah. Or yeah, four to the other team. You know, Oh, God. I mean, four is crazy. There's no way he's doing that. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Midas, Sal, all the fan. Come back, get these calls. A little bit of everything. And the Mets bullpen. Got to throw this on the table. Yikes. Even with the win, it's drain wreck. I mean, it's double A. It's high A. Call the Long Island Ducks. Call Staten Island. My boy Perrone, get some arms out of that bullpen. We'll get to that coming up. All right, BT and Sal back here on The Fan. That was a wild Mets game, huh? I actually flipped it off after the Mets scored all those runs. I did. Had to jump into my nightly political pool, bouncing around the channels. And, wow, I'm like, wait a second, what happened? So I remember seeing, first of all, great win. And I mean, listen, bullpen malfunctions aside, it is what it is. Till you get Diaz back, he makes moves. But, I mean, that was a wild win. And that was an important win. I mean, that play in right field with two outs in the 10th, what a grab. What a grab. And what was the stat on SNY? I think since Diaz got hurt, the ERA of the bullpen is like 7.5. Listen, you don't need me to tell you that they need to make moves. I do think it's important. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, me and Pat and some other, really just me and Pat actually, about the urgency now to do it sooner rather than later, which I think is smart. Listen, I'm not going to throw names at you. I'll let Evan do that. Do I know middle relievers with teams that are ready to part with middle relievers that have no controllability that are making $1.9 million? I don't know. I don't even care. What I do care about is, from a Mets perspective, is it's up to Stearns to find them. That's his job, not mine. I could point out what's wrong, and we all could, even though there's a lot right with the Mets. It's Stearns' job, and I think he's going to be very good at this. I think when we look back, and this is part of the smaller market mentality with his days with, actually not even small, they were small. I had it right the first time with the Brewers. I think you just learn how to, you know, kick over a rock and see what's under it and kick the tires on this guy. And because it's such a nominal financial investment, even somebody like Wendell's a position player, if it doesn't work out for, what was he making, $1.5 million, bye-bye. And I think that that's going to be one of Stearns' MOs as he builds out this team. So you can focus on the fact that the bullpen got shellacked again and was an embarrassment, or you can focus on the fact that the Mets had an awesome win, which I think is the lead here. Francisco Alvarez is a star. He is a star. Everything about him, it just radiates star. His energy, I mean, the way he barrels up the ball, just his presence, he's just his aura. He is a special, special player. And, you know, I thought he was special a year ago with the power, right? But I remember not knowing, I'm like, is he going to be a 240 hitter who, you know, who runs into 25, 28, 30 home runs a year? Or is he going to be a 280 hitter who runs into 25, 30 balls a year? And it looks like it's going to be the latter. Not to overreact just because he's hitting, whatever, 305 now. But just watch his approach. He is perfect for this team. Because where the team's a little older or unproductive or a little comfortable, he just injects that every, like, I love watching him play ball. So you got yourself a winner. You got yourself a stud. And, you know, now you just got to bag the wins when you could get them. And let's face it, when you're up by 6-7 runs against the Nats, you got to find a way to win. And they did. Actually, they were up by more than that. So you sweat it out. You pocket the win. You just keep trudging forward. Nice to see J.D. Martinez join the party again. And it's a good sign, because think about the way this started for the Mets, this renaissance. Even before they went to Texas, when he hit the walk-off home run. Like, it was really the J.D. Martinez show, and nobody was joining in. And then, I think Cohen said he snapped an 0-for-12 and 0-for-13 skid with that three-run home run last night. So now, as he, and this is emblematic of a team, you know what I mean? When one guy cools off a bit, everybody else, the other guys start to get some fingerprints on this. Whether it's the catcher, whether it's Iglesias, who even went yard, and what he's bringing to the table, whether it's Lindor, you know, whether it's, you know, lesser extent Pete, whether it's Nimmo, who didn't play last. That was odd with Nimmo, huh? Jeez. But this is what teams do. Your top hitters, they're going to go through these funks. The rest of the guys pick it up. And you just collect some wins. And you collect enough, and you're a playoff team. Now, I still don't think the I think they're going to fall tantalizingly short. I do. That's just my opinion. Sal disagrees. I'm sure Met fans disagree. But I just feel like I've got to remain consistent in this one aspect here. So, let me bring the Yankees into it for a moment. One thing that really worries me, and it's a big thing about the Yankees, is that they've got so many holes to address. All right, maybe they don't need to address first base with Rice all of a sudden showing some signs. But, you know, I'm not a Torres guy. Third base ain't good. Catchers, closer, you know, you got to do some stuff. And I think it's very hard to address multiple primary spots at one trading deadline. And I think the Mets similarly have an issue. It's not like they need one arm in the bullpen. They need two or three. And they need another starter in addition to Senga. Now, other teams have holes, too. So maybe that's what gives the Met fan the confidence. But Stearns, it's not just one little thing. He's got a couple of things. And if he does it, then, man, massive tip of the cap. Then they are a playoff team. I think that's going to be tough, though. But still, great win. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to you. Omar's in Brooklyn. What's going on, Omar?
How are you?
Hello, Omar.
How are you?
Hey,
good
buddy.
Morning. Good afternoon.
Yes.
So, Mitch Robinson, I understand before the draft happens and there was a speculation and this media was trying to throw out Mitch Robinson, how many games that he has missed last year, and he's an injury-prone player. Did Boston win a championship with Porzingis? He's an injury-prone player or not?
They won with Porzingis, correct.
Yes, as a starting center supposed to be, and he was not available in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is Embiid an injury-prone player? Every time missing in the playoffs, mm-hmm. a majority of the time.
Yes.
He's an injury-prone player. So you want to put a limiter, he's making $15 million, and what he brings to the table, that nobody in this league brings. Nobody is going to the paint. And look at your stats against Indiana series. Game 4, Game 6, Game 7, blowout when Mitch is not around.
Yep.
They score, their defense suffers a lot. Hartenstein, 4 rebounds in Game 7.
So you don't miss Hartenstein? You're not going to miss Hartenstein. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
I told on the RJ when Ananobi comes here.
Yes or
I
no?
Said, you will not miss RJ Barrett, but you can miss Iman quickly. You will not miss Hartenstein, whatever the Leon Rose replacement is going to be, I don't know. They will not miss a penny of $30 million. Go to OKC.
You're nuts.
$30 million. Yeah.
Hold on one sec, bud. I got a question for you.
Okay.
What do you do when Mitchell Robinson misses 37 games again? What happens?
He will not miss 37 games, and Leon Rose.
Dr. Omar, please report to the emergency room. Dr. Omar, paging Dr. Omar.
So the OG Anunoby is going to play 23 games the way he played this year. That's what you're counting on.
I know I'm not, but at least I'm not saying that he's going to play. That he's not going to get hurt. I don't know. The guys that get hurt usually get hurt again.
That is so. You are telling me that Embiid is going to get injured, so they're not winning the championship.
I'm not talking about Embiid. I'm telling you that Mitch is going to get hurt, and I'm telling you the Knicks are going to miss Hartenstein, and you're telling me for some reason neither is going to happen.
What I believe is Leon Rose will bring up a backup center that you will not miss Hartenstein. Thank you very much. I don't have no problem with Hartenstein getting the money that you deserve because you played in New York City and you gave a limelight. You gave a very good season to us.
Uh-huh.
You deserve that $30 million. Go to you. Enjoy. No,
he's just not going to miss him.
No, we are worried about it. We will not miss you. Thank you very much, Hartenstein.
Did he call him Hartenstein? I think we're going Frankenstein next week. Did he call him Harkenstein? Maybe I heard that wrong.
I'm not sure.
Omar's great.
Omar just strings together words and sentences.
He's the best. I love when he gets revved up. Good job, Omar. Appreciate it. You're nuts that you're not going to miss Hartenstein, because I am. And I think it's very delusional to think that suddenly Mitchell Robinson's going to be a figure of health. I hope so. I don't expect it. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan coming up. The crowd, I'll hit you with that, the top story of the day, as we juggle a few things here. Hey, dating on your phone, banking on your phone, news on your phone, ordering lottery tickets, well, that's on your phone as well. With Jackpocket, getting lottery tickets never has been easier, that's right. Powerball, Mega Millions, daily games like Pick 3 and Pick 4 right at your fingertips. Jackpocket users have already won over $480 million in prizes. And we've had over 40 millionaires. Now's your chance. Download the Jackpocket app and use code RADIO for a free ticket on them. Download it. Get set with the number one ranked lottery app according to data from AppFollow. 18 or older, gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY in New York or text HOPE-NY in New Jersey. 800-GAMBLER. See jackpocket.com/TOS for terms. It's drain wreck. I mean, it's double A. It's high A. Call the Long Island Ducks. Call Staten Island. My boy Perrone, get some arms out of that bullpen. We'll get to that coming up. All right, BT and Sal back here on The Fan. That was a wild Mets game, huh? I actually flipped it off after the Mets scored all those runs. I did. Had to jump into my nightly political pool, bouncing around the channels. And, wow, I'm like, wait a second, what happened? So I remember seeing, first of all, great win. And I mean, listen, bullpen malfunctions aside, it is what it is. Till you get Diaz back, he makes moves. But, I mean, that was a wild win. And that was an important win. I mean, that play in right field with two outs in the 10th, what a grab. And what was the stat on SNY? I think since Diaz got hurt, the ERA of the bullpen is like 7.5. Listen, you don't need me to tell you that they need to make moves. I do think it's important. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, me and Pat and some other, really just me and Pat, actually, about the urgency now to do it sooner rather than later, which I think is smart. Listen, I'm not going to throw names at you. I'll let Evan do that. Do I know middle relievers with teams that are ready to part with middle relievers that have no controllability, that are making $1.9 million? I don't know, and I don't even care. What I do care about is, from a Mets perspective, is it's up to Stearns to find them. That's his job, not mine. I could point out what's wrong, and we all could, even though there's a lot right with the Mets. It's Stearns' job, and I think he's going to be very good at this. I think when we look back, and this is part of the small market mentality, smaller market mentality with his days with, actually not even small, they were small. I had it right the first time with the Brewers. I think you just learn how to, you know, kick over a rock and see what's under it and kick the tires on this guy. And because it's such a nominal financial investment, even somebody like Wendell is a position player. If it doesn't work out for, what was he making, $1.5 million, bye-bye. And I think that that's going to be one of Stearns' MOs as he builds out this team. So you can focus on the fact that the bullpen got shellacked again and was an embarrassment, or you can focus on the fact that the Mets had an awesome win, which I think is the lead here. Francisco Alvarez is a star. He is a star. Everything about him, it just radiates star. His energy, I mean, the way he barrels up the ball, just his presence, he's just his aura. He is a special, special player. And, you know, I thought he was special a year ago with the power, right? But I remember not knowing, I'm like, is he going to be a 240 hitter who, you know, who runs into 25, 28, 30 home runs a year? Or is he going to be a 280 hitter who runs into 25, 30 balls a year? And it looks like it's going to be the latter. Not to overreact just because he's hitting, whatever, 305 now. But just watch his approach. He is perfect for this team. Because where the team's a little older or unproductive or a little comfortable, he just injects that every, like, he's, I love watching him play ball. So you got yourself a winner. You got yourself a stud. And, you know, now you just got to bag the wins when you could get them. And let's face it, when you're up by 6-7 runs against the Nats, you got to find a way to win. And they did. Actually, they were up by more than that. So you sweat it out. You pocket the win. You just keep trudging forward. Nice to see J.D. Martinez join the party again. And it's a good sign, because think about the way this started for the Mets, this renaissance. Even before they went to Texas, when he hit the walk-off home run. Like, it was really the J.D. Martinez show, and nobody was joining in. And then, I think Cohen said he snapped an 0-for-12, an 0-for-13 skid with that three-run home run last night. So now, as he, and this is emblematic of a team, you know what I mean? When one guy cools off a bit, everybody else, the other guys start to get some fingerprints on this, whether it's the catcher, whether it's Iglesias, who even went yard, and what he's bringing to the table, whether it's Lindor, you know, whether it's, you know, lesser extent, Pete, whether it's Nimmo, who didn't play last. That was odd with Nimmo, huh? Jeez. But this is what teams do. Your top hitters, they're going to go through these funks. The rest of the guys pick it up. And you just collect some wins. And you collect enough, and you're a playoff team. Now, I still don't think that, I think they're going to fall tantalizingly short. I do. That's just my opinion. Sal disagrees. I'm sure Met fans disagree. But I just feel like, I've got to remain consistent in this one aspect here. So let me bring the Yankees into it for a moment. One thing that really worries me, and it's a big thing about the Yankees, is that they've got so many holes to address. All right, maybe they don't need to address first base with Rice all of a sudden showing some signs. But, you know, I'm not a Torres guy. Third base ain't good. Catchers, closer, you know, you got to do some stuff. And I think it's very hard to address multiple primary spots at one trading deadline. And I think the Mets similarly have an issue. It's not like they need one arm in the bullpen. They need two or three. And they need another starter in addition to Senga. Now, other teams have holes, too. So maybe that's what gives the Met fan the confidence. But Stearns, it's not just one little thing. He's got a couple things. And if he does it, then, man, massive tip of the cap. Then they are a playoff team. I think that's going to be tough, though. But still, great win. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to you. Omar's in Brooklyn. What's going on, Omar?
How are you?
Hello, Omar.
How are you? Hey, good buddy. Morning. Good afternoon.
Yes.
So, Mitch Robbins, and I understand before the draft happens and there was a speculation and this media was trying to throw out Mitch Robbins on how many games that he has missed last year and he's an injury-prone player. Did Boston win a championship with Porzingis? Is he an injury-prone player or not?
They won with Porzingis, correct.
Yes, as a starting center supposed to be, and he was not available in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is Embiid an injury-prone player? Every time missing in the playoffs, mm-hmm. a majority of the time. Yes. He's an injury-prone player. So you want to put a limiter, he's making $15 million, and what he brings to the table, that nobody in this league brings. Nobody is going to the paint. And look at your stats against Indiana series. Game 4, Game 6, Game 7, blowout when Mitch is not around.
Yep.
Their score, their defense suffers a lot. Hartenstein, 4 rebounds in Game 7.
So you don't miss Hartenstein? You're not going to miss Hartenstein. Is that what you're saying?
I told on the RJ when Ananobi comes here.
Yes or
I
no?
Said, you will not miss RJ Barrett, but you can RJ. Miss Iman quickly. You will not miss Hartenstein, whatever the Leon Rose replacement is going to be, I don't know. They will not miss a penny of $30 million. Go to OKC.
You're nuts.
$30 million.
Hold on one sec, bud. I got a question for you.
Okay.
What do you do when Mitchell Robinson misses 37 games again? What happens?
He will not miss 37 games, and Leon Rose.
Would Dr. Omar please report to the emergency room? Dr. Omar, paging Dr. Omar.
So the OG Anunoby is going to play 23 games the way he played this year? That's what you're counting on?
I know I'm not, but at least I'm not saying that he's going to play. That he's not going to get hurt. I don't know. The guys that get hurt usually get hurt again.
That is so. You are telling me that Embiid is going to get injured, so they're not winning the championship.
I'm not talking about Embiid. I'm telling you that Mitch is going to get hurt, and I'm telling you the Knicks are going to miss Hartenstein, and you're telling me for some reason neither is going to happen.
What I believe is Leon Rose will bring up a backup center that you will not miss Hartenstein. Thank you very much. I don't have no problem with Hartenstein getting the money that you deserve because you played in New York City and you gave a limelight. You gave a very good season to us.
Uh-huh.
You deserve that $30 million. Go to you. Enjoy. No,
he's just not going
to
miss him.
No, we are worried about that. We will not miss you. Thank you very much, Hartenstein.
Did he call him Hartenstein? I think we go on Frankenstein next week. Did he call him Harkenstein? Maybe I heard that wrong.
I'm not sure.
Omar's great.
Omar just strings together words and sentences.
He's the best. I love when he gets revved up. Good job, Omar. Appreciate it. You're nuts that you're not going to miss Hartenstein, because I am. And I think it's very delusional to think that suddenly Mitchell Robinson's going to be a figure of health. I hope so. I don't expect it. 888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the Fan coming up. The crowd, I'll hit you with that, the top story of the day as we juggle a few things here. Hey, dating on your phone, banking on your phone, news on your phone, ordering lottery tickets, well, that's on your phone as well. With Jackpocket, getting lottery tickets never has been easier, that's right. Powerball, Mega Millions, daily games like Pick 3 and Pick 4 right at your fingertips. Jackpocket users have already won over $480 million in prizes. And we've had over 40 millionaires. Now's your chance. Download the Jackpocket app and use code RADIO for a free ticket on them. Download it. Get set with the number one ranked lottery app according to data from AppFollow. 18 or older, gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY in New York or text HOPE-NY in New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER, see jackpocket.com/TOS for terms.